What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm so glad and excited to be here this morning. At the same time, I'm really humble to be standing before you to share the word of God with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come just as we are this morning. Lord, we need you. We want to thank you, Father, for loving us. We want to thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your house. Father, we know that many people are not able to do that this morning. Out of choice and out of situations they cannot avoid. And for us who are here this morning, Father, we humble ourselves as we call on you, Lord, that you'll speak to us. Father, I'm a vessel in your hand. I surrender to you, Lord God, and I pray that you use me, Lord. May you speak to me, and may you speak to your people through the Holy Spirit, Lord, as you bring your word and help us, Lord God, in understanding that which you have for us today. Father, we pray that you'll be our hope this morning. We pray that our hearts will long and thirst for you. And we pray, Father, that you will open us up to your truth. And we pray that your truth will set us free. We love you, Father, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good morning, church. As I said, I'm thankful for this opportunity that the Lord has given me to be before you. One of the things I always fear about teaching the Word of God is that it teaches you and it works on you before you bring it to people. And as I was studying and preparing for the test this morning, I've really been hammered because I found myself really unworthy. But I thank Christ that he came for me and he saved me and he made it possible for me to stand before you to share the word of God. It's not my word, it's his word. You are not my people, you are God's people, and he loves you and he wants to speak to you. So we came this morning because we want God to speak to us. So for those who are visiting for the first time, my name is Gordon Agingo. I love the Lord. I'm saved. And the desire of my heart has never been stronger than it is now to go to heaven. A few weeks ago, a dear friend of mine passed and made heaven to be so real. And I started longing to be in heaven. I mean, it's strange. I was asking myself, why? You know, I know I want to go to heaven. Apart from the 2 days, you know, when I got saved, the first time I got saved, I really wanted to go to heaven like the next day. But during the course, you know, people get used to things. So I got used and I was like, you know what, seems like still work for me to do. But the last 2 weeks I've really longed to be in heaven. Amen. And it's weird, you know. It's weird, somebody might think it's selfish. And that's the truth. I mean, because it was so beautiful to see, you know, what sleeping in the Lord means. I mean, they are not dead, they'll sleep. The peace, and of course, just getting through the Bible and looking at what God says about death. I mean, it made me to love that. And actually, until this time, I'm longing, I'm waiting for that time, amen? And that has been in my mouth. I mean, I was telling Sunday school this morning about one of my coworkers that I've been praying for. And for those who were here last week, you know the storm, they were warning on the storm. So she ran into my office because the weather radio is just next to my office, so keep on going off. And she ran and said, you know what, I'm really scared, Mr. Gordon, I'm scared. Are you not? I say, I'm not, but you need to be very, very scared. You know, she said, what do you mean? I guess because you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. You need to worry about this. And I was so excited about, you know, even if it's the time to go to heaven, I'll be excited to go, you know. So I'm standing here with that desire in my heart. Heaven is our home. So, brethren, we need to be longing. And so this morning, the Lord laid in my heart to talk about being in the presence of the Lord. And I'm going to read from the Old Testament, Exodus. I wanted to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want us to focus on verses 12 to 16. And just to tell you a little bit about what the scripture is saying, you know, it was so strange that God was talking to Moses, and he had called the people stiff-necked. You know, their heart is like, I can't go with you. You know, God had done wonders with these people, showed himself to them, made them know who he is, how real he is. But they were still depending on their own things. They wanted to do their own things. You know, they were making choices that were not in line with the word of God, just as we are doing today. And so, come to a point where God is looking at them and say, you stiff-necked people, you are hard to get it. You know, you don't get it. And so he was like, I'm not going with you. But the scripture we are going to read is where Moses now was talking to God, whom he knew, whom he had experienced, who he had been in his presence. He knew how loving, how caring this God is. And he knew what it means to live a life change, what it means to be in encounter with God. So Moses, as we are going to read, we are going to get the point here. And it's my prayer that all of us will be able to get this point. So let's go ahead and read. Exodus 33. Angela, if you can put it on screen, please. Moses and the glory of the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? So, the title of my message this morning is Never the Same. Never the same again. The presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. When Moses demanded from God to make it clear to him to know who he was going to send with him, God was plainly, you know, like this argument was coming because of the previous verses where God had said, I'm not going to go with you, because if I go with you, I might kill you. I mean, that's how mad God was. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, that's how, you know, he was annoyed with these people and said that, I don't want him to go with you. And of course, we know God was not going to let them alone. God was always there. But I want us to know that things do change and things do happen. And all these changes that are taking place in our culture now, the same changes that has been taking place all the time. Somebody says, since we are facing right now that we are struggling with, they were there years ago. It has not changed. And I want us also to remember one thing, that this loving, caring God is the same God. His love is still there for us. The love that moved God to go and look for Adam and Eve when they sinned and ran away from God's sight is the same very love that made him to send Christ and made Christ to go to the cross and died for us. And it's the very same love that made you and I be who we are in Christ Jesus. And so this morning is my prayer and my desire that we'll come to a point of realizing what it means to be a child of God. What it means to have an encounter with God. What it means to be in the presence of the Lord. Being in the presence of the Lord changes life. You and I who are sitting here, if you're a child of God, you can testify of the change that took place in your life the very day you call Christ to be your Lord and Savior. I can testify of that. You can testify of that. Because there was a change in your life. You had experience. You experienced the love of God. You came to know who God is. Something that those who don't know the Lord have no clue. But you and I, the very day that you invited Christ into your life, a new life began. So in the presence of the Lord, it's the only place where you'll find the following. There is transformation in the presence of the Lord. When you are in Christ Jesus, there has to be a transformation. And this transformation will bring direction because you are in the presence of the Lord. So the Lord will transform you, change your life. Things that you liked before becoming a Christian, things that you felt like this is my life, God is going to change those things because you are in Him. He's going to transform you. He's going to give you direction. He's going to refresh you. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. So we see this in this very text. When Moses came from the presence of the Lord, people could see the very transformation that had taken place in his life. In Exodus 34, 29 to 35, talks about how they were looking at him when he was coming. They were looking at him going in. They knew that Moses was going to be in the presence of the Lord. And they were seeing Moses who was coming out of the presence of the Lord. They describe the changes that took place in him, both physically and spiritually. And so there was a change. Moses' life was changed. He was changed because the way he was coming out of there, the Bible described he was radiant. The bright light that was in his face. He was changed because he heard from God. So there's a need of being in the presence of the Lord. And that's what really hit me hard when I was studying the scripture. There's a need of being in the presence of the Lord. But there's more need of hearing what God is saying. Because most of the time, we can be in the presence of the Lord, but we don't hear what God is saying. And that's the warning here, church, that anytime we're in the presence of the Lord, we need to listen to what God says. Moses listened. He heard what God was saying. And not just listening, we need to receive that which God is saying. Moses received what God said. The change was a result of hearing and receiving from God. And of course, when you are in the presence of the Lord and you hear from God and you receive from God, your priorities will be different. That's the transformation that is taking place. You are going to have different priorities. Here on earth, in our culture especially, our priorities are really messed up. You know, what is important should not be important at all. In thinking about, you know, how people live and how people live when they know they are going to pass, has made me to think, you know, in what stage of life are we spending most of our time, our resources? And that can help you to understand where your priorities are. From the culture where I come from, there are two things that happens that people really value. They do great weddings, big weddings, and the funerals are as big as the weddings. And it's sad. It's sad for me because people will spend a lot of money in the weddings and they spend even more money in the funerals. People make arrangements. You guys, I mean, here, if somebody died next week, probably we are having funeral service and they go. In my culture, it will be a week, months because of preparation. And it breaks my heart when you see how much people spend devoting on preparing for somebody who is dead, you know, to give them dignified funeral. But I ask myself, how much time do we spend in sharing the gospel and in focusing on where we are going? This is one of the things that made Moses. He knew who God is. He experienced God. And this was a priority now to him. And actually, you hear him saying that, God, if you're not going with us, we're not going to make a step. We're not going to leave this place. You have to go with us. Because he knew there's nothing that he can do without God. How hard was it to deal with those people? He knew it. He lived with them. He's the one who was taking all the blames, you know. And so he understood. He knew. And he said, I'm not going with these people without you, God. Because he had encountered God, he knew. He knew that he wanted God in his life. I pray that the Lord will help us to have that kind of longing. Because we have been in the presence of the Lord. We can expect the same change that took place in life of Moses, in him having encounter with God today. Because when we experience God, when we are in the presence of the Lord, where change takes place, we won't want to go back again. We don't want to be where we were before. I don't want to be where I was before. It was a miserable kind of life. But I think most of the time we forget. We are prone to wander. We forget where we were, where the Lord has brought us from. And that's one thing that I admire about him. He did not forget how powerful, how loving, how great God is, how beautiful God is. And so he wanted to be in the presence of the Lord all the time. Adam and Eve forgot about that. They were trying something different, which is a common thing. We all try things. So they are trying something different. But guess who went back for them? They knew better. They knew what it is to be in the presence of the Lord. It was rough. They were running away because they couldn't enjoy the fellowship they were having with God. Because in the presence of the Lord, there's fellowship. Never come from the presence of the Lord without a change in you. That's my prayer, that I will never be in the presence of the Lord and go back the same. What is my being in the presence of the Lord do in my life? So being in the presence of the Lord changed Moses. It transformed him. Being in the presence of the Lord transformed Isaiah. Being in the presence of the Lord changed the life of Job. Job was transformed and changed. Now, going through all those trials, he came to a point where he was arguing with God. But having encounter with God made him to see how great God is. In Job 42:5, Job said, my eyes had heard of you. My ears have heard of you. But now my eyes have seen you. So we are seeing the receiving and we are seeing the hearing and we are seeing the receiving. Job, just as Moses did, he heard God's word and received God's word. He said, my ears have heard of you. And if you think about what Moses was, the argument with Moses had with God, that you've been calling me name, you said you know me by this and this and this, but you have not told me. You know, he had encounter with God, he was talking to God. The same thing was happening with Job. In his trials that we know about, he came to talk to God. How loving God is. He allows us to be able to talk to him about those situations, things that are making us and want to take away that which we had from him. God is loving and caring. He has never changed. He wants us to have a talk with him. Amen. So, church, I'm encouraging us that even in those times when the enemy is probably telling you need to look for another alternative, remember this, that you can sit and talk to God. and God will hear you, and God will answer you. He did this in the lives of these people. Peter and John had an astonishing changes in their life. Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. What a change. That's the kind of change that being in the presence of the Lord brings. People know, people can notice that. You know, first of all, they thought about these people, said, these people are unschooled. You know, they knew them, they are ordinary people, but there's something different in them. What is different about us? What is different about us as Christians today? What's different about you today as a child of God? What can people see, even when you walk out of this church? Are they seeing anything? If not, we need to seek God. If not, we need to cry out to the Lord. What is hindering us from experiencing the fullness of God as we sit in His presence? So I have four things that I want us to leave this place with today as we talk about being in the presence of the Lord. The reasons why it's so important to be in the presence of the Lord. First one, God wants us to come into His presence so that we might be changed. God wants us to come into His presence so that we might be changed. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What changes us is God's Word. So when we are in the presence of the Lord, the Word of God comes as a result to change us, to make us better people, to move us closer to Him, to make us the light and the salt of the world that He wants us to be. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do in our life. So if we understand what the Word of God is supposed to do in our lives, we'll thirst and hunger for this Word. Because that's the only thing, church, that will change you. That's the only thing that will make you different from the rest of the world. That's the only thing that will make you to be the true light and the salt of the world that the world needs. We are living in a world where there's pain, and people don't know how to deal with pain. In Christ alone, will you know how to deal with that? It's sad sometimes to hear the things that are happening around us. But because God wants us to be changed, He wants us to be the weapons, or rather the tools of change that the world needs most at this time. The presence of God makes us transform, not to be conformed. You know, there are times when things become so hard to the point where people give up. But the Word of God is not that. The Word of God is to transform us. It's what allows us not to conform to the pattern of the world. I'm not going to do it because the world is doing it. I'm not going to behave like that because the world behaves like that. I am different. You are different. You're a child of God. And Christ in you, through the Holy Spirit, makes you do what reflects who Christ is in you. When I was growing up, we used to sing a song saying, power in the inside, working on the outside. What a change in me. So the test for conformity or transformity, John 1:3-6 says, no one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or know Him. So when we're in the Lord, we cannot do the double life. Because the Spirit of the Lord will convict you. If you do wrong, the Spirit of the Lord will knock on you and let you know this is wrong. Because you are a child of God. And what makes that happen? Because you are in the Word of God. You live according to what the Word of God is teaching you. This is lacking because we don't want to stay in the presence of the Lord. Most of the times we find ourselves falling on the other side because we don't want to stay in the presence of the Lord. When we encounter God's presence, we hear from Him. The presence of God in Corinthians, in 1 Chronicles 28:9, He says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge," I want you to remember that, "acknowledge the God of your fathers and serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts." What a great advice that we as church we need to follow. Acknowledge the God of your fathers. Serve Him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. What got me out of this is that I need to have a willing mind when I'm serving the Lord. And that happens because of the transformation that has taken place in our lives. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. He continued giving instruction to Solomon that if he seeks the Lord will found, he will find him. But if he forsakes the Lord also will forsake him and reject him. In the presence of the Lord, Psalms 148, David realized this and he said, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." In the presence of the Lord, we hear from Him and we have communion with Him. James 4, verse 8 says, "Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We can't live double lives. As Christians, we cannot. It weighs us down and takes all the strength that we can. And we cannot be the light that the Lord has called us to be. So it's my prayer, church, and that's my cry. Every now and then I'm crying and asking God, "God, help me. Help me not to be the one hindering many souls from coming to the Lord." Because anytime, church, when we're not walking the walk, guess what? If we're not walking the talk, there's a hindrance. People question what kind of God we have, what kind of change has taken place in our life, what kind of transformation has taken place in your life. And so we are being warned not to conform to the pattern of this world, but we transform by the renewal of our minds. The presence of the Lord. God doesn't force His presence on us. Remember this, we must seek it out. Revelation 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." He's such a gentle God. He doesn't force His way in, but He's standing and knocking. If you've never experienced God, in other words, if you have never invited Christ in your life, and whatever I'm talking about now, because you are not saved, you don't understand it, I do really pray hard that today will be the day of salvation. Because when you do that, there will be a change in your life. That transformation I'm talking about, that change that talks in your life, the change that makes God wants us to be in his presence will take place in your life. In the presence of the Lord, we are refreshed. The Bible says in Psalms 42:1, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for thee. Being in the presence of the Lord makes us want more. And that's what Moses was longing for. He couldn't just see himself away from the presence of the Lord. He experienced it, enjoyed it. So his heart was thirsting for that. The change that is taking place in you and me as a result of being in the presence of the Lord will cause you to want more of him. More about Jesus. Let me know. More in his unfailing love. The thirst quenched desires is fed in God's presence. So as your body longs for water, and as your body longs for food, those are physical things. That's how our hearts need to thirst and long for the Word of God. I don't know how long you can go without drinking water, especially in this heat. But I want you to imagine yourself at that time when you are thirsty and all you need, the sodas won't do it. The ice cream will not do it. You just want pure water. Think about that. That's what your soul longs for. That's what our souls need to long for. Because when we are away, we don't experience God. It's like, you know what, something is missing in my life. So that word of God needs to be the one quenching our thirst. Our spiritual thirst is what I'm talking about. How thirsty are you for the word of God? In this culture, I will tell you, people don't care. People don't care at all. And that needs to break our hearts. If people don't care, just longing and thirsty for the Word of God. I know most of you are reading Bible every day, every morning you do your devotion, you pray, and you still long to be here on Sunday morning to be with the fellow brethren because that thing's just burning you inside. Enjoying the coming together of the saints, encouraging one another, praying for one another. And I will encourage you, church, do that. That's required of us as people who love the Lord, who have been in the presence of the Lord. He wants us to be here. He wants us to be diligent and consistent in seeking him. What an encouragement are you to the church of God as you walk in here every day on Sunday to worship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord because of the change that has taken place in your life. You had other things that you could have been doing this morning, but you purposed in your heart because of being in the presence of the Lord. You longed for that. You wanted that. Your heart was, your soul was thirsting and hungering for the Word of God. The second reason why God wants us to be in his presence, because being in the presence of the Lord, the problems of our lives are dealt with. If we are in the presence of the Lord, we have problems, church. Those problems are dealt with in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Your trials, your problems, it's only in the presence of the Lord where you will find answer. God has been so gracious to me, and I make a joke about this at my place of work, that since I came from Kenya, I had a long break, and so I'm still very refreshed, and there's no stress on me. And so people kind of enjoy being around me. And this very lady that I was telling you that came and was scared about what's going to happen, she walked in my office this week again and said, you know what, I know last week you were really hard on me about where I'm going to spend eternity, and I still have a lot of things I have to put in place. You told me that it's not my part to do that. I need to come to Christ as I am. So she said, you know, one thing that is really bothering me, I had a lot of questions and I had a lot of things. And yesterday I prayed that God, please help me deal with these things and just to know what's going on. I need the answer. And she said that, you know, I went to sleep and I'm not one who remembers dreams, but this one was so vivid. I mean, I remember it the way it is. I went to bed and I had this dream and the Bible was in front of me. Can you interpret this dream for me? And I said, really? The answer is in the Word of God. It's so plain. God loves you so much to the point where He even brings that to your sleep. This is where the answer is. I said, I don't like that answer. That's the same answer my mama gave me. I said, yes, what's that telling you? I didn't know that your mama told you the same thing when you asked her. And I'm telling you the same thing. That's what God wants you to hear. And you know what? What surprised me? She was still looking for something else, somewhere else. But the answer is in the Word of God. Our problems are dealt with when we are in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Isaiah was talking about the renewal, the strength that is renewed in him. Isaiah 40:20 said, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and a young man stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's what being in the presence of the Lord will do for us. Because we are in the presence of the Lord, we are not going to go away. Our problems, our trials are going to be dealt with in the presence of the Lord. That's the joy of being in the presence of the Lord. And that's one reason, that's another reason why you need to constantly be in the presence of the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord, these trials that we are struggling with are going to be dealt with. There's nothing that the Bible is not talking about. I was so blessed to hear that at my young age, and my dad told me that my son, there's nothing. There's nothing outside the Bible. There's nothing I can teach you that is not in this Bible. Actually, he made me aware that he only knows how to parent as a Christian. He doesn't know how to do it outside. So the scripture is the thing. In our wedding, that's the gift my parents gave me. Because they knew that's the answer to everything. And actually, I've never gone wrong being in the Word of God. Because the answer, every answer you might have, is in the Word of God. As you struggle out there, remember, the Word of God is where the answer is. There's a need for us to be in the presence of the Lord. Not only to be in the presence of the Lord, but to hear what God says. Not only to hear what God says, but to receive that which God is saying to you today. And anytime you're in the presence of the Lord, David said this. When he was in the deathbed encounter with God, he left him satisfied and he was singing because he had been in the presence of the Lord. And so this is what he said. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and a weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, and with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I don't know where you can be worse than where David was. But in that very situation, in that very place, he realized how being in the presence of the Lord, because God was with him, and he could still afford to sing praises to the Lord, he was left satisfied and could afford to sing because he experienced and had known what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. He felt the fullness, which is our next thing. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. If you want joy, be in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen, church? You know, people are looking for joy. Anything. I mean, you can advertise and sell even a pin if you say it brings joy. Anything. So long as you touch it with joy on it, there are a number of people who will try to buy it. But they will not find that joy outside the Lord. Nothing else in creation offers fullness of joy. Psalm 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. John 15, 11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Fullness of joy is in the Lord, and actually it's in desiring for him all the time that you find the fullness of joy. If your heart desires for God, if your heart longs for God, that joy will be there because you'll be experiencing the presence of the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, this is the last point. In the presence of the Lord, there's security and safety. And it's all tied together in what we read about David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because you've been in the presence of the Lord, because you've heard from the Lord, because you have received from the Lord, you are going to find safety and security in him. So I want us to think about this morning, even as we wind up. In your life as a Christian, if you are, what robs you and stops you from seeking and thirsting being in the presence of the Lord? For God desires for you to be in his presence. For the reasons that I've given, he wants us to experience him. And we can only experience him when we're in his presence. What is hindering you from that deep desire of experience who God your Father, loving Father, is? You know, the major issue that is really battling with us in this culture, we don't know who we are and we don't know who we belong to. My identity and who I belong to. So people are searching left and right. Talk with the younger people, and actually it's not the young people alone. Even the adults in their 50s, 60s, 70s are still trying to identify who they are. What sadness. We are empty because we don't know who we are and we don't know who we belong to. And that's the lack of being outside the presence of the Lord. Because when we have been in the presence of the Lord and we have heard from him and we receive from him, we will know who we are. And we will know who we belong to. And that will take away that. In conclusion, Moses did not want to go without the Lord's presence. As we read in Exodus 33, verse 15, he says clearly that if you are not going with me, I'm not going. I'm not going even to leave this place. And the reason why Moses did not want to do that, because of the four reasons that I read. And those are the things that make you should make us as believers not to live without God, not to do anything without God in our life. Church, we need Christ more than before. If anything, this is the time when we need God more than before. We need to stop playing religion and church. We need God. The world around us need God. We can't continue doing this. We need God. We're in the last of the last time. What do we do? Why do we have to continue playing church when we are living in the last of the last days? What is hindering us from coming to the Lord? What is hindering us to surrender and leave God to take control of our life? What's stopping us to have Jesus as enough in all? When are we going to realize it's the last of the last times? When are we going to realize this judgment coming? When are we going to realize the world needs Jesus? When are we going to realize our friends, our neighbors, our family need Christ? And when are we going to stop playing and start being serious as people who have been in the presence of the Lord? It's my prayer this morning that as we live here today, we'll know what it means in the presence of the Lord. And we'll take it seriously. We'll walk our salvation with fear and trembling. We cannot settle for anything less than being in the presence of the Lord. That's my prayer as we conclude this morning. May you settle this with yourself today and with God as we live here, that you're not going to live without being in the presence of the Lord. You're not going to have anything less than that. You are going to be crying out to the Lord, God, unless you're with me, I'm not going to do it. Lord, unless you're with me, I'm not going to move another step. I need you. Because that's going to stop you. That's going to stop me to spend more time with God, to seek God. Because I realize and I know for sure that I cannot do it without God. My friend, you cannot do it without God. Why do you have to bear the pain that Christ already taken at the cross? He said, come to me, come to me. You who is heavy laden, I will give you rest. Christ is crying. He understands the pain you go through. He understands the pain I go through. And that's why he's crying, because it's done. He wants you, he wants me to rest in him. So how do we live this out? That remains to be the question. Tell me, how do we live this out? How am I going to experience God while I'm going through this? How am I going to experience God when the world is just on my shoulders? How am I going to trust God and to be in the presence of the Lord when all these trials are in my life? You ask me that, I'm glad you're asking, because I asked the same question. God, how am I going to do it? So being in the presence of the Lord, if we hear what he's saying and we receive it, that will help us to do it. Because that's where the answer is. This is what makes change in us as children of God. It changes our identity and allows us to know that we belong to God. And he's a loving, caring Father. Amen. There's nothing that you're going through that is not known to him and that he doesn't care about. So if you can just give yourself to him, if you can just surrender and say, Father, here I am, I can't do it. I was telling you, probably I've said this before, but it means a lot to me. When I was living in Kenya, I was 27 years old. And my dad had a great friend. He was not a Christian. And he was telling my dad that, "You think your son is going to make it? Life is hard out there. Here it's really hard. Do you think he's going to make it?" And he was saying that in front of me. And my dad said one thing to him that really gave me a lot of confidence. "So long as he is in Christ that saved him, he'll make it." What a great answer. I learned a lot from that. So long as he's in Christ Jesus who saved him, he's going to do it. He's going to make it. I don't see anything else that will stop him from making it because Christ is in with him. We look for things, but I want to say our God is able. So read the Word of God and keep His Word. Live in the Word of God because that's living in His presence. And with that, you're going to make it. Second thing, stay focused in prayer so you can continually rely on the Holy Spirit to fill you, lead you, and give you discernment. Stay focused in prayer so that you can continually rely on the Holy Spirit to fill you, lead you, and give you discernment. And the last one, be discerning. Regularly evaluate the different voices that we hear. We have to. The voices you encounter in books, in sermons, in studies, online, devotions, articles that you are reading, be discerning, seek God, and determine what they believe about Christ and to what degree they lift up and honor the name of Christ. Because sometimes we can just walk ignorantly. And that's another problem that is really messing up with us as believers. We prefer to be in the presence of people rather than being in the presence of the Lord. We look at the answers to our problems outside the scripture while we need to look for them in the scripture. Yeah. When you're talking to somebody who is digressing or running away from God, they will tell you, "No, I just wanted to prove this. I want to prove that what the Bible is saying to you are going to prove what the Bible says outside the Bible." Really? See the foolishness that comes in. Outside the Bible, you are going to prove what the Bible is. And so you are going to rely on other things, people's opinions, rather than relying in the Word of God. So, church, it's my prayer that this morning as we leave here today, we will have the deepest desire to live in the presence of the Lord and to walk and live according to what His Word says, knowing that we cannot afford to live life without God. Amen? So I want us just to go before the Lord in prayer. If you are here and you're not saved, this opportunity for you to make things right with God, you're not going to be the same. And you're not going to regret. You'll be able to experience the love, the fullness of God, the joy that He gives, the satisfaction, the safety, the security, the change that nothing else. You've tried a lot. They have failed you. Jesus will not fail you. He did not fail me. Everybody with Christ will testify Christ has not failed them. He will not fail you. In all those trials, the pain that you're bearing, come to Jesus. Have a Jesus meeting this morning with Him. He's listening. He cares. He loves you. He wants to see you walking in the fullness of joy, of knowing that Christ is all in all. So as the music team come, I would ask us to pray, and I will ask Pastor Mike to close after that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word. May your word do that which you send it to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.